Alhamdulillah, it is indeed a great blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our such a small locality, that we can invite such a great personality which needs no introduction. Hazrat Maulana Salim Tohra Sahib Damad Barakatuhum. Alhamdulillah, is a world-renowned speaker. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken great work of the deen of this individual. We are currently the Sheikhul Hadith of IDA. He's also the founder of the IDA as well, which has been established since 1991. Alhamdulillah, Hazrat has inspired many, many people in the decades he has been working for deen. It is our opportunity to listen with an open heart, with the full firm conviction of re-establishing that connection and that muhabbat with the Quran. Because these gatherings, Alhamdulillah, greatly, greatly blessed. It is said in a hadith that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that such a gatherings where the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place are so blessed that nazalat alayhi sakina, the special tranquility and peace descend from the heavens. And not only that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also stated that qad buddilat sayyatikum hasanat, in such a gatherings your minor sins are converted into good deeds as well. Such are the great blessings of these gatherings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all give me and all of us the tawfiq to listen with an open heart, with the intention of implementation of the Quran, and like I mentioned, re-establishing that connection with the Quran. Inshallah, first and foremost, we will always start with the recitation of the Quran.
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون والله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العظيم.
Inshallah, now I will humbly request our guest of honor, Hazrat Maulana Salim Jawad Sahab, to enlighten us. It's a words of inspiration, like I mentioned, this is a great opportunity to be enlightened and listen with the intention of implementation, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى through his infinite mercy and grace revealed the glorious Quran upon our most beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the blessed month of Ramadan. Allama Ibn Kathir Rahimahullah Ta'ala, the great Mufassir, he says that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for the revelation of his Kalam chose the best of his creation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he chose the best month, the month of Ramadan, and he chose the best night, the night of Qadr. And he chose the best of places, Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed His kalam upon the best of the creation, during the best month, during the best night, in the best of the places, Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. From this it is not difficult to understand the status of the Quran in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, Fadlul Quran ala sa'iril kalam ka fadlillahi ala sa'iri khalqihi. The virtue of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over all the other kalams. The virtue of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over all the other literatures is like the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over all His creation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, Al-Qur'anu ahabbu ilallahi minas samawati wal ard. Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the seven heavens and the earth. So Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and its status is so high that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal it to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. He did not reveal it to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. He did not reveal it to Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. He did not reveal it to Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the heart, the best heart that He has created. The heart of the best creation, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, for His kalam. So the status of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the status of the Quranul Majeed is very, very high. And if the status of the Quranul Majeed is very high, then it is very easy to conclude that the person who connects himself to this great book, to this very high kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will also become great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last hadith of Bukhari Sharif, which is narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, wherein our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, Kalimatane Habibatane ilar Rahman. There are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala. There are two very simple sentences which are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala. They are very light on the tongue, but very heavy in the scale. Kalimatane Habibatane ilar Rahman. There are two sentences which are very much beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khafifatani alal lisan, they are light on the tongue. Saqilatani fil mizan, but heavy in the mizan, heavy in the scale. What are these two sentences? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. The first sentence is Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, and the second sentence is Subhanallah al-azim. My friends, let us today resolve that inshallah from today we will daily recite these two sentences at least 100 times. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. We will recite these two sentences, this dhikr that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us daily at least 100 times. Inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, our right hand side pan of the scale will become very heavy, and as a result Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us entry into Jannah. By mentioning this hadith, what I desire to deduce is that the commentators of hadith have said that these two sentences are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala. That means anyone who connects himself to these two sentences will also become beloved to Allah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim is beloved to Allah. So anyone who frequently recites these two sentences will also become beloved to Allah. So Quran is the kalam of Allah. It is great. So anyone who connects himself to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also become great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person becomes great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person becomes great in the eyes of everybody in this world and also in the hereafter. So friends, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will connect ourselves to the Quran. Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Its status is very high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khabbab ibn Arat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he used to say, "O people, acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O people, acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And thereafter he used to say, "There is nothing which will bring you more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the Quran." Quran is that ni'mat, Quran is that bounty, Quran is that gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, which will bring us very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that will bring you more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the Quran. And Abdullah ibn Masood radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that the one who connects himself to the Quran is the lover of Allah and the lover of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Connecting oneself to the Quran is a sign that he loves Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sahal ibn Abdullah Tusturi rahimahullahu ta'ala says, Allama Qurtubi rahimahullahu ta'ala has quoted him, "Alamatu hubbillahi hubbul Quran." The sign that one loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he's loving the Quran. So if a person has love for the Quran, that is a sign that he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let us for a moment, my friends, let us be honest with ourselves. This worldly life is not going to remain forever. Sooner or later we will all depart. One after the other, we will have to depart. Maybe sooner rather than later. Maybe our life is shorter than we expect. Let us worry about the life hereafter. And let us ponder over our reality. Are we in reality religious? That is the question that we all need to ask. Maulana looks at me with love, with affection, with reverence. And it's his good thought on my part that he thinks, he believes that I am a very religious person. And it is a very great amal as far as Maulana is concerned, because for having good thoughts regarding a Muslim believer is a very good amal. Nowadays we are all victims of suspicious thoughts. We cannot think good about people. We always think negative and evil about people. We cannot see the good qualities in people. We can only see the bad in people. And if we are unable to find anything bad in people, our minds will create something which is bad. And we will just accuse that person. And our system within ourselves is so corrupt that despite that person not having that evil, we will actually believe that he does have that evil. He is bad. He is good for nothing. And not only will we entertain these thoughts, we will bring these thoughts upon our tongues also, and we will start telling other people also. Whereas our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has taught us that even if we find a fault in our Muslim brother, in our Muslim sister, we should conceal it. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised great reward. Man satara musliman satara allahu man satara musliman satarahu allahu yawm al-qiyamah. One who conceals the fault of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults on the day of Qiyamah. Allah has promised great reward. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires that we conceal the faults of Muslims. That is why he has given glad tidings of a very great reward. That person is very, very clever, and that person is very, very intelligent, who does not look at the faults of others, who looks at his own faults. He looks for negative points in his life. He talks to his friends, his dear and near ones, and he says to them that if you find any fault in me, please tell me, because I want to rectify that fault before I meet my Creator. So when a person looks at the other with good thoughts, this brother, this brother, this brother, this brother, this Maulana, that Maulana, if they look at me with good thoughts, and if they feel that I am good, if they feel I have some good qualities, if they believe that I am a pious person, as far as they are concerned, they are very lucky. Because for entertaining good thoughts regarding a Muslim, they will be rewarded whether that Muslim is good or not. For entertaining evil thoughts regarding a person, even if that person is evil, we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. And for entertaining good thoughts regarding Muslim brothers, even if he is not good, we will be rewarded in the hereafter. So why should we not entertain good thoughts instead of entertaining evil thoughts? When in entertaining evil thoughts, we have to give everything away, and in entertaining good thoughts, we have to just take everything. The point I'm trying to emphasize is that Maulana or our Muslim brothers, our friends, our dear ones, our near ones, if they look at us with good thoughts, alhamdulillah, it's a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah is not disgracing us in this world. And we can hope that inshallah Allah will not disgrace us in the hereafter as well. But the point that I'm trying to emphasize is that should I not sit down on my own, in a room where there is complete privacy, and take stock of my life and ask myself that am I really good? Am I truly good? Am I genuinely good? People think I'm good. People say I'm good. They praise me. They respect me, they honor me. But if I was made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will I be seen as a good person? My friends, the more we take stock of our lives, the better it will be for us in the hereafter. The more we take stock of our lives, the better it will be for us in the hereafter. When we go to the hospital and we are waiting in the casualty, there are so many other patients as well. We don't think about other people at that time. We think about ourselves only. We think about ourselves. When is the doctor going to come and see me? What is happening to me? Am I suffering from anything serious? What is wrong with me? Even if we see somebody who is in a more worse state than we are, even then we are more concerned about ourselves, not that other person. Why? Because we realize what an illness is, what it can lead to. If we realized what the hereafter is, if we realized what the situation will be when we will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the hadith, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ tarjuman. There will be no translator. Allah will speak directly and ask questions. Imagine, my friends, having to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is asking us questions. And the main five questions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask is, number one, where did you spend your entire life? Number two, where did you spend your youth? Number three, from where did you earn your wealth? Number four, where did you spend your wealth? And number five, how much did you practice your knowledge? These are the five main questions. And then each question will branch out into many other questions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us from the reckoning of the day of Qiyamah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us amongst those people who will go into Jannah without any reckoning and without any questioning. So my friends, we have to ask ourselves, do we really love the Quran? Do we really love the Quran? Sahal ibn Abdullah Tustari rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted by Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi saying, Alamatu hubbillahi hubbul Quran. One who loves the Quran, that is the sign that he loves Allah. The question we need to ask, do we love the Quran? Do we love the Quran? Week after week passes, and not touching the Quran, we don't even see the Quran. Do we miss the Quran? Do we miss the Quran? We don't see our grandchild, we miss seeing the grandchild. I haven't seen my grandchild for 1 week. My grandchild has gone to Umrah, my grandchild has gone to Pakistan, my grandchild has gone to India with its parents. I haven't seen my grandchild for 3 days. One week, I miss my grandchild. I miss my grandchild. Why? Because we love our grandchild. So we miss seeing the child. We miss taking the child into our lap. We miss hugging the child. Do we ever miss touching the Quran? That I haven't touched the Quran for so many days. I haven't seen the Quran for so many days. I haven't kissed the Quran for so many days. Reading will come after. Understanding will come after. And practicing will come after. Do we miss seeing the Quran? I haven't seen the Quran for so many days. We have love for Kaaba, alhamdulillah. We all yearn to see Kaaba. People will say, I was there 3 months ago, but I want to go back again. Do we find the same feeling in our hearts for the Quran? When we are in Makkah Mukarramah, when we are in the Haram Sharif, we find people just standing in front of Kaaba, just gazing at the Kaaba. And their friends telling them that, come, we are late. Food is ready, or we have to catch the taxi. No, the person is gazing. Why? Because love is there. Is that how we experience the condition of the heart when it comes to the Quran? It's a very important question that we should answer, my friends. It is my belief that there is not a single Muslim or a Mumin who does not have love for the Quran. I am not saying that because we do not experience this feeling, we don't have love for the Quran. We all love the Quran. But the love for the Quran is very less. That's why we don't miss seeing the Quran. That's why when our gaze falls on the Quran, we don't feel happy. We don't feel excited. We don't stop for a few seconds and gaze at the Quran. Because love is less. We don't feel like putting the Quran to our chest. We don't feel like putting the Quran to our eyes. We don't feel like kissing the Quran. Because love is less. We need to increase this love for the Quran. Love for the Quran is a sign that we love Allah. The more love we have for the Quran, that is a sign that we have lot of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My friends, lectures, speeches, bayans take place in the masajid frequently. There is no shortage of bayans. Let us make some resolutions. We are in the month of Rajab. Shaban is soon to begin, and thereafter the month of Ramadan. This is the best time to make resolutions. And the first resolution we need to make is that inshallah daily I will recite Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim 100 times. The second resolution is I need to increase my love for the Quran. And we will be able to increase our love for the Quran if we see the Quran more. If a person says, I have fallen out with my brother for the past 5 years, may Allah safeguard all of us from Qatar Ahmi. I have fallen out with my brother for the past 5 years, and we haven't seen each other for the past 5 years. Alhamdulillah, through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now somebody has intervened and we are on talking terms. But I don't find the inclination towards my brother that I used to have before. So what will you advise him? The advice you will give him is that visit him more frequently. Visit him more frequently. You don't find the same feeling as you used to before because of your disconnection from him. If you keep the two palms of the hand separately, you will not feel the warmth. If you put the both palms together and rub them together, you will find warmth. So in order to bring warmth between the two brothers, you have to meet each other more frequently. You should go to visit him, he should come to visit you. You should invite him for food, he should invite you for food. You should invite him for tea, he should invite you for tea. You should send him gifts, he should send you gifts. And within months and weeks you will see that the same feeling is there. When we disconnect from something, then in English we say out of sight, out of mind. If something is out of sight, it is out of mind. Because Quran is out of sight. We don't see the Quran, we don't touch the Quran, we don't read the Quran. Quran is out of sight, so out of mind, out of heart. So in order to inculcate the love of Quran in our hearts, we need to see the Quran more. Let us gaze at the Quran when we are passing in the masjid at home. Let us hold the Quran in our hearts and daily let us have a meeting with the Quran. Daily meeting with the Quran. And the more longer the meeting lasts, the more the love will increase. So if we recite 5 juz daily, and if it takes 20 minutes to recite 1 juz, so we are spending 100 minutes with the Quran. 1 hour and 40 minutes. So the love will be more. But if we are unable to due to our other commitments, no commitment is important than the commitment of connecting to the Quran. But okay, fine, we have our commitments, we have our other valid reasons. For argument's sake, let us accept. But let us take out 15 minutes for the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily. 15 minutes. This is the second resolution I would like each and every person to make. That inshallah on a daily basis, at least for 15 minutes, I will connect myself to the Quran. Begin from Suratul Fatiha, start reciting for 15 minutes, Once 15 minutes is over, if you want to close the Quran, fine. And if you feel like reading more, alhamdulillah, read more. Put a mark, the following day begin from there again. 15 minutes or more, put a mark, the following day again begin. We need to talk about the realities of life and the practicalities of life. We can discuss so many academic issues in this gathering. But will that bring any benefit to us? Let us talk about simple things which is associated to our day-to-day life. The Ummah, more than 90% of the Ummah has disconnected itself from the Quran totally. More than 90% of the Ummah has disconnected itself from the Quran totally. Totally means no understanding, no practicing and no recitation. And the remaining 10 who are connected to the Quran, the remaining 10%, from them only 9% are connected to, 9% are connected to recitation only. So there is only 1% of the Ummah, maybe even less, who is connected to the Quran fully, that who recite the Quran, who understand the message of the Quran and who practice the Quran. And we expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend. How will the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend? Woh zamane mein muazzaz the musalma hokar. Woh zamane mein muazzaz the musalma hokar. The sahaba ikram rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain were honored by people. They were honorable. They were honorable in the eyes of friends and foes. وہ زمانے میں معزز تھے they were معزز, they were respectable, they were honorable in the eyes of the friends and foes. Why? Because they were Muslims. And who is a Muslim? Muslim is he who submits his will to the will of the Quran. Muslim is he who submits his will to the will of the Hadith, Sunnah. Muslim is he who submits his will to the will of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muslim is he who submits his will to the will of the Sharia. Muslim is he who submits his will to the will of his deen. So they were Muslims. Muslims means they were Sahibul Quran. Muslims means they were Sahibul Quran. They were the people of the Quran. They had connected themselves to the Quran. وہ زمانے میں معزز تھے مسلمہ ہو کر تم خار ہوئے تاریخ قرآن ہو کر. You have become disgraceful as a result of your forsaking the Quran. You have become تاریخ قرآن and they were صاحب قرآن. صاحب قرآن is the one who reads the Quran and who understands the Quran either directly, if he has the ability to do so, if he has the authority to do so, if he is an alim, a scholar, or through a scholar. The one who reads the Quran, understands the Quran, and who practices the Quran, he is Sahib-e-Quran. And if a person does not practice the Quran, he understands that he reads, he is a Sahib-e-Quran of a very lower level, because one third is gone. And if he just reads and does not understand, two-thirds is gone. And if he does not even read, he is not Sahib-e-Quran. So we are either two-thirds Sahib-e-Quran, one-third Sahib-e-Quran. So anyone who is not Sahib-e-Quran will not see honor, neither in this world nor the hereafter. So my friends, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will connect ourselves to the Quran. And from today, we will take out at least 5 minutes for the Quran. And those of you who are taking out more, 15 minutes for the Quran, inshallah. And those of you who are already taking out more than 15 minutes, please continue to do so. And those who are already reciting the Quran for 20 minutes, for 30 minutes, for 40 minutes, please continue to do so. Do not decrease and do not come down to 15 minutes. 15 minutes is for those people who are below 15 minutes. At least 15 minutes. At least 15 minutes. Huh? Let us look at the lives of our pious predecessors. lives of our pious predecessors, Urwa ibn Zubair, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Throughout his life, he recited 7.5 juz Quran daily. Throughout his life, he recited 7.5 juz Quran daily. He would complete the Quran every fourth day. Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a Qari who has passed away recently, maybe in the 1980s or 1990s, he was the Khalifa of our Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He was one of the greatest Qaris that the world had seen. We have two types of Qaris. One is who recites very beautifully. They become famous. And the other who have the insight as far as the science of the Qiraat is concerned. They don't become famous. Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi is the student of Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahmatullahi alayhi. And Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahimahullahu ta'ala during his time was the greatest Qari of the whole world. Even the Arabs would say that the pronunciation of Vaad, which is the most difficult pronunciation, Vaad, the Arab scholars used to say that the way Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahimahullahu ta'ala pronounces Vaad, no other Qari can pronounce it so correctly. And you will find so many people today who have seen Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahmatullahi alayhi. He passed away in Madina Munawwara and alhamdulillah he is buried in Jannatul Baqi. And I heard from Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib hafidhahullahu ta'ala that Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahimahullahu ta'ala was a sign. He was a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayatum min ayatillah. He was a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my friends, had sent Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahimahullahu ta'ala in our age to strengthen our iman and yaqeen in regard to the Quran. Allahu Akbar. Such a great Qari. He was blind. Such a great Qari. Despite being blind. And not only Qari, very pious person. Very pious person. In the month of Ramadan, he would first perform Taraweeh in the masjid. And without notice, he would go to a masjid where one of his students is leading the Taraweeh. Without notice, he would reach the masjid in the last minute, in the first row. And he would check his student whether he is leading the Taraweeh with complete tajweed or not. So daily, all his students would expect him that Qari Sahib could arrive any time. And he would perform the 20 rakat Taraweeh in the masjid with the intention of Nafal Salat. Why? Because after completing the Taraweeh, he would perform his own Taraweeh. And in his Taraweeh, he would recite 10 juz daily. In his own Taraweeh, after completing the Taraweeh in the 20 rakat in the masjid, he would perform another 20 rakat. So the first 20 rakat is Nafl. He has only gone to the masjid to check his student whether he is reciting correctly as he had been taught or not. Then he would return home and with a few people who were interested, he would recite lead Taraweeh again and he would recite 10 juz. 10 juz every day. So every third day he would complete the Quran and during the month of Ramadan he would complete all the 10 qiraat. He would complete the Quran first with one qiraat, then the other qiraat, then the third qiraat, then the fourth qiraat. He would complete all the 10 qiraat. Allahu Akbar. Such great personalities this world has witnessed, my friends, and we should be proud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected us to these akabir. These akabir, the akabir of Deoband, mashallah. Great, great qurra, great ulama, great fuqaha, great muhaddisin, great mufassirin. You name it and they are there. Mufassir, muhaddis, faqih. And he had so much control over the Quran, Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahimahullah Ta'ala, that he would be able to recite backwards. He would recite the Quran backwards like Suratul Fatiha. He had so much control over the Quran that if he was asked that just recite the last word of every ayat, he would begin from Suratul Fatiha until Vannas and he would just carry on reciting just the last word. Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahimahullah Ta'ala, his teacher, Qari Rahim Bakht Sahib Rahimahullah, his student, Qari Rahim Bakht Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. He was a teacher in Jamia Khairul Madaris Multa. And after completing his teaching in Jamia Khairul Madaris Multan, he would go home and during the evenings also he would teach. After Tahajjud he would teach. On a daily basis he would teach. But despite that, his daily recitation, despite being so busy with his teaching, his daily recitation was 20 juz. I'm talking about out of Ramadan. His daily recitation was 20 juz. My late Sheikh, spiritual mentor, Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, mentioned to me, I heard it with my own eyes, that one day I came to know in Karachi that Qari Rahim Bakht Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala is here. So he said, I took it as a very good opportunity to benefit from him and meet him. So I went to meet him. When I went to meet him, he had just completed his wuzu. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. Hazrat, I heard that you were here, so I have come to meet you, benefit from your presence. So he said, let me perform two rakat tahiyatul masjid and then I will meet you. Tahiyatul wudu and then I will meet you. Very pious people. Let me perform two rakat tahiyatul wuzu and then I will meet you. So Qari Farooq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala said, that I said, Hazrat, if you are going to perform tahiyatul wuzu, it's nafal, I will also join you. Let us perform salat with jamaat. It's nafal, let me join you also. It may have been after Maghrib, after Isha. And Haji Farooq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala used to say that he would recite the Quran so beautifully that you would enjoy his recitation. So I said, let me just listen to Qari Sahib's Quran. Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala said, I joined him and we started performing Tahiyatul Wuzu with Jamaat. And I said, in the first rakat, he recited 10 juz. Tahiyatul Wuzu, he recited 10 juz in the first rakat. A person like Qari Rahim Bakht Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi can claim to love the Quran. We cannot claim to love the Quran. They would find it so attractive, the Quran, that they would just go on reciting. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Urwa ibn Zubair Rahimahullah Ta'ala is a tabi, and here we are talking about somebody who passed away a few decades ago. There have always been people of the Quran, and until the day of Qiyamah, they will always remain people of the Quran. Everybody is not lazy like me. Everybody is not like me who has distanced himself from the Quran. There are so many people who are people of the Quran, alhamdulillah. So Urwa ibn Zubair would read 7.5 juz daily. And during those times, the times of the Tabi'in, the times of the Taba Tabi'in, the times of the Sahaba, if you ask somebody, brother, what is your ma'mul of recitation of the Quran? What is your ma'mul? This brother will say 1 juz, this brother will say 2 juz, this brother will say 3 juz. We all have our ma'mul. So when I ask somebody here that what is your ma'mul, you will say 1 juz. That means I read 1 juz daily by looking in the Quran. In the time of the Sahaba, the Tabi'in and the Taba Tabi'in, if you ask somebody what is your ma'mul and if he said 3 juz, that means I recite 3 juz in Salatul Tahajjud. So the ma'mul of the Quran was fixed and the time was also fixed that Quran should be recited in the Tahajjud Salat. 7.5 juz daily in Tahajjud Salat. Allahu Akbar. 7.5 juz daily in Tahajjud Salat. 4 days Quran finished. And majority of them, majority of the Sahaba, majority of the Tabi'in, majority of the Taba Tabi'in would complete the Quran in 7 days. 7 days complete Quran. 7 days. Others, maybe in 4 days, maybe in 3 days, maybe in 6 days. And there was a group who would complete the Quran daily. Daily. Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala has narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma that Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu recited the whole Quran in one rakat. Usman Ghani radiyallahu anhu recited the whole Quran in one rakat. Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala, a great tabi'i. Great tabi'i. He was martyred by Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, probably in his 40s. So look at his zeal to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in young age. One day somebody met him. And when this person spoke to him, he felt that his tongue was very heavy. And he could not understand properly. So he said, "Are you okay?" So Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala said, that last night, he said, "I am okay, my health is okay. Last night I recited the Quran more than I usually do. More than I usually do, so my tongue out of tiredness has become heavy. So if I say to you that yesterday I recited the Quran more than I normally do, the meaning is normally I recite 3 juz and yesterday it was 4. Normally I recite 5 juz and yesterday it was 7. Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala had the habit of reciting one Quran daily. One Quran during the night, daily. And he said, "Last night I recited more than my normal habit." So the person asked that, "How much did you recite last night?" So he said, 2.5 Quran. So the daily habit was one Quran and yesterday I recited little bit more. And that little bit more was 1.5. 75 juz in one night. This same Sayyid ibn Jubair, rahimahullah ta'ala, had the opportunity of entering Kaaba. And when you enter Kaaba, it is masnoon to perform 2 rakats because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he entered Kaaba, he performed 2 rakats. And normally when people enter Kaaba, the thought process is that I will go into Kaaba, perform 2 rakats, short dua and out. Because people are coming, going, coming, going, coming, going. Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala entered the Kaaba and he started his short 2 rakats. But he got connected to the Quran so much that in 1 rakat he completed the whole Quran. Abu Bakr ibn Iyash rahimahullah ta'ala, Allama Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, the commentator of Muslim Sharif has quoted that Abu Bakr ibn Iyash rahimahullah ta'ala, the great muhaddis, he recited the whole Quran daily, continuously for 30 years. Continuously for 30 years he recited the whole Quran. Yahya ibn Ma'in rahimahullah ta'ala says that Yahya ibn Sayyid al-Qattan rahimahullah ta'ala recited the whole Quran. The whole Quran. Without a miss. For 20 years daily. 20 years, 30 years. Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, they would also recite the whole Quran every night. And comes the month of Ramadan, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, they increase their tilawat. One Quran during the day, one Quran during the night. And when the crescent of Eid al-Fitr is cited, both would have recited 60 Quran. 60 Quran without the Tarawih. Tarawih is extra. 60 Quran. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, out of gratefulness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for granting him the day of happiness, the day of Eid, he would recite the whole Quran on the day of Eid and he would recite the whole Quran on the night of Eid also. Shaykhul Hadis Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, for more than 40 years continuously, for more than 40 years, every Ramadan, he would complete one Quran daily. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he would complete one Quran daily in the month of Ramadan. We know Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, we know Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala. the people I am mentioning were not Sufis who had nothing to do and only sit in the masjid and recite the Quran. No, they were looking after the whole ummah. They were the leaders of the ummah. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala would complete one Quran daily, from Maghrib till Maghrib. One Quran daily. And daily, one Quran daily plus 10 juz in tahajjud. So every third day he would complete the Quran. So 30 plus 10 Qurans in the whole 40 Quran. And one Quran in Taraweeh. 41 Quran in the whole month of Ramadan. This was their recitation, my friends. Now a question may arise as to how is it possible for a person to complete the whole Quran in one night? How is it possible for a person to complete one Quran during the night? How is it possible? So there are so many people we see throughout the world doing things which is not possible as far as we are. How can he do this? How can he do this? How can he walk on the road between the two mountains? But it's possible if you try. It's possible. We believe because we see it. We see it, that's why we believe. If we did not see a person walking between two mountains on a rope, we would not have believed. How is it possible? But because we have seen it, we believe. And we come to this conclusion that if a person exercises, if a person tries, if a person practices, then a time does come when he is able to do it. Similarly, these people, they started with one Jew, increased it to two Jews, increased it to three Jews, four Jews, slowly, their stamina increased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in their time. And as a result, it became the miracle of the mu'jiza that they were able to recite the whole 30 juz of the Quran in one night with tajweed and with tadabbur, with pondering over the Quran. Urwa ibn Zubair rahimahullah ta'ala, it is stated regarding him that the 7.5 juz that he would recite at night in tahajjud, he would sit down and ponder over the Quran during the day and understand the tafsir, so he is able to recite during the night with tafsir. So he had time to look at the tafsir of the 7.5 juz daily. And how much time does it take me or an alim of this era to prepare 5 verses or 6 verses to do the Darse Quran? Ask the ulama how much time it takes us. And he was able to go through the 7.5 juz daily of tafsir. And then he would recite the Quran with the tafsir in his mind. There were people who had so much love for the Quran. So much love for the Quran that they would begin reciting the Quran and stop at a particular verse. And from Isha till Fajr just recite that same verse. Ahmad ibn Abil Hawari, rahimahullah ta'ala, a very great pious personality, a very great alim. His student says that after Isha Salat, I left the masjid. And my Sheikh Ahmad ibn Abil Hawari, rahimahullah ta'ala, had already left the masjid. So I left the masjid to go home. So when I left the masjid to go home, I passed by his house and he had already started his tahajjud salat after Isha. So he said, whilst I passed by his house, I heard him reciting the same verse over and over again. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. With tafsir in mind, he was reciting, focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was enjoying so much that one verse only. So people repeat. We hear people reciting Quran in Taraweeh, the Arab huffaz and ulama, and we see them reciting the same verse 2 times, 3 times. But he continued reciting. So Ahmad ibn Abi al-Hawari rahimahullah ta'ala said, I went to sleep and I woke up for tahajjud. I performed my tahajjud. After performing tahajjud, I left my home to go to the masjid again. So he said, I passed by his house and he was still reciting Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Now when we look at Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, we think to ourselves that only you do we worship and from only you do we seek help. What is so interesting about this verse? Only you do we worship and only from you we seek help. What is so interesting about this verse that all night? And this is not only one incident. There are dozens of incidents where a tabi'i, a sahabi, a taba tabi'i is reciting the Quran and he spent the whole night standing in qiyam just reciting that one. I heard from the son of Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani rahimahullah ta'ala that sometimes we would witness our father getting up for tahajjud salat and spending his whole time of tahajjud, 2 hours, 1.5 hours, whatever time he had, the whole time reciting one verse only, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. He was so concerned about his hidayah and staying on the straight path that he would weep profusely and he would cry and he would say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Ihdina Sirat, and then the time of tahajjud would come to end. So my friends, I have mentioned so many incidents as regards to the love for the Quran. Let me mention one more. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah ta'ala. Many of you may have witnessed the life of Hazrat bin Nuri rahimahullah ta'ala. A great scholar, very great scholar, great muhaddis. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah ta'ala. He, during his student days, he's talking about his student days. He says that I performed my Fajr Salat in a masjid. And after the Fajr Salah, it occurred to me that I should recite some Quran. So he said, I recited the Quran. I started reciting the Quran. He said, I had a shawl on my shoulder or on me. He said, I spread the shawl and I sat on the shawl in the masjid. And I started reciting, during his student days, I started reciting the Quran. And he said, I completed one juz, second juz, third juz, fourth juz, fifth juz, sixth juz. Everybody left the masjid. I was on my own and I continued reciting. He said, until I reached the end of the 26 juz in the same gathering. And he said that because of my timetable in student days, it was a Friday, so Friday is a holiday, but I had to perform my Juma Salat in another masjid. And in order to reach that masjid, I had to leave this masjid at a particular time. He said that if I did not have to perform my salat in the other masjid, I would have completed the whole Quran in that sitting. So my friends, I'm concluding now. What is the second resolution we need to make? First is Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. And let me expand a little bit more on the first point. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, 100 times. Istighfar 100 times. Because we need to wash our heart daily. It becomes so filthy. So at least 100 times. Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. This is the soap that we need to use to wash our heart. Astaghfirullah. And 300 times Durud-e Pak. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. But if this seems a very long durood, then read it 2-3 times, 5 times, 7 times at the beginning, and then read the shortest formulae of Durud-e Pak. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu, 300 times Durud-e Pak. And 100 times either kalima-i tayyiba or third kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah or Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. If we can do both, alhamdulillah nurun ala nur, but either of the two. So this is point number one. Resolution number one. Resolution number two. Inshallah, daily we will take out 15 minutes for the glorious Quran. Beginning from Suratul Fatiha. And we will not wait for the month of Ramadan, we will begin from today. We will fix a time, and during that time, we will do nothing but recite the Quran. And when we are very sick, or when we have a very severe headache, when we are traveling, then if we cannot take out 15 minutes, we will recite at least one ruku on that day. When we are unable to have a full meal, when we are unwell, or when we are traveling, we have at least a sandwich, a few biscuits and coffee or tea. So this is our spiritual food. Dr. Abdullahi Arifi, rahimahullah ta'ala, the Sheikh of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani and Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani, hafizahumullah ta'ala, and Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. On the last day, just hours before passing away, he was on his deathbed, he was hospitalized in a very serious condition. On the last day, after performing wudu, he said, "Can I have my Quran, please?" Last day, hours before passing away. So he was supported, the Quran was put in front of him, he was not hafiz of the Quran. So he recited maybe half a page or one page of the Quran. Because of his illness, sickness, he could not. He recited half a page or a page of the Quran, and then he said, "Take the Quran away now." When the Quran was closed and taken away, he said, "Alhamdulillah, I have completed my practice of recitation of the Quran for today." See, if we are unable to do a lot because of our circumstances, then little bit. We will recite the Quran. And because we need to connect ourselves to the Quran, we will sit in the gatherings of durus of the Quran that takes place in the masjid. Durus of the Quran. If it takes place in our masjid, alhamdulillah. If not, then I would encourage the brothers here to start something. If it is not possible for whatever reason, then we should try to find other masajid where there is a Quran is taking place, and on that particular day we should benefit from an alim and understand the message of the Quran. And we should also listen to the lectures of the ulama, because whatever they say, that is also part of the Quran, part of the ahadith, which is the tafsir of the Quran. Number three, whatever we learn from today, resolve all these resolutions we have to make. Resolve that I will listen to the bayan with the intention of practicing. And inshallah, I will practice everything that is said. If in the bayan the speaker asks me to practice 10 things, I will practice 10 things. But if I am unable to, as a result of my weakness, I will not get up from a bayan without taking at least one thing with me. One thing with me. I tell young friends, young boys, I work with young people. So I say to them, I said, if you are very lazy, and if you find deen very difficult, deen is not difficult. But I say to them that a sick person cannot enjoy biryani. So we are sick people, we don't enjoy deen. But in order to become healthy, we have to somehow take medicine. And the medicine is, I say to them, that when you sit in the bayan, tell yourself that I'm going to look for the easiest thing that I can do. So if he mentions 20 things, I will note everything and I will pick the easiest thing and I will bring it in my life. When you go to another lecture, look for the easiest thing. When you go to a third lecture, but every time you must increase one amal in your life. My friends, if you do this, see what happens to you within 6 months. See what happens to your deen. You will begin to taste the biryani of deen. And you yourself will ask other people that, "Can you please give me nasiha? Can you please tell me something that I can practice?" So we need to understand the Quran by sitting in the company of the ulama, in the durus of the Quran, in the bayans, and practice. And whatever we learn, whatever we practice, we take it home to our families, we take it to our friends, our dear ones, near ones, and whatever we have understood, we explain to them that I went to a bayan, I went to a dars e Quran, and I have read this book, and this is what I have learned. I am asking you also to start practicing. If we do this, my friends, it will go a long way in securing peace of mind in this world, tranquility of heart in this world, and also our Jannah in the Akhirah. And as for the young boy who has completed the glorious Quran, he is a very, very fortunate young child of the Ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not choose everybody for the preservation of his Quran. As I have mentioned earlier, Quran is great. If I have something very precious, if I have something very precious in my pocket, and if I want to pass it on to somebody to look after it, I will not just pass it on to the nearest person. I will look around first. And I will choose that person who is beloved to me and who I trust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give the Quran to everybody. He gives the Quran to those people whom He loves and whom He trusts. And it will be very bad on our part to break that trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a very big achievement for this young child. I congratulate him, I congratulate his teacher, I congratulate his parents, I congratulate his family, I congratulate the whole congregation. And it is such a great achievement that I congratulate the whole ummah. Kyun mumtaz na ho Islam duniya bhar ke dino mein? Why should Islam not be distinguished amongst all the other religions of the world? Kyun mumtaz na ho Islam duniya bhar ke dino mein? Wahan mazhab kitabon mein, yahan Quran sino mein. There the religion is in books, and here the religion is in the hearts of the people. The Quran is in the hearts of the people. A young boy attending school, full time school, and with his full time activities and engagements, he is able to memorize the whole Quran from Alham till Wannas. What a great achievement. Allahu Akbar. So I will appeal to the young student also, and I will appeal to his parents also, that the parents and the young child, they should make sure that this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has bestowed him with, he should not break the trust of Allah, and he should preserve this until he breathes his last. He is becoming the Hafiz of the Quran today. He should not remain Hafiz of the Quran for 1 year only and forget the Quran. No, he should remain the Hafiz of the Quran until he is resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. So he should be resurrected as a Hafiz of the Quran, so that he will be able to intercede for his parents. He will be able to intercede for his relatives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the Hafiz of the Quran, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man qara'a al-Quran, one who reads the Quran. Fastazharahu, and he memorizes the Quran. Fahalla halalahu wa harrama haramahu. And he behaves like a Hafiz of the Quran. What is halal, he does. What is haram, he abstains. Adkhalahu Allahu al-Jannah. Allah will grant him entry into Jannah. And thereafter Allah will say, Jannah is guaranteed for you. وَشَفَّاهُ فِي أَشَرَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ كُلُّهُمْ قَدْ وَجَبَتْ لَهُمُ النَّارِ. And thereafter Allah will say, that find 10 people from your family who are so bad that Jahannam is incumbent upon them. Go find those 10 people and intercede for them and take them in Jannah also. But my friends, if the Hafiz of the Quran, whether me or any other Hafiz, if we forget, then the day of Qiyamah we will not be Hafiz of the Quran. And if we are not Hafiz, we will not be granted this honor. So I congratulate all of you, especially the young boy, his teacher, and the family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him acceptance, grant us all acceptance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakah of this very auspicious moment, grant us the tawfiq to, from today, do everything that brings his pleasure, and to abstain from everything that brings his displeasure. I will leave you with this final note, that do qadr of the month of Ramadan, value every moment of the month of Ramadan, and acquire the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق، من شر ما خلق، ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب، ومن شر النفاثات في العقد، ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين، الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب غمومنا وهمومنا وقائدنا وسائقنا إلى جنات النعيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما، یسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما، عفو عافیت کا معاملہ فرما، فضل و عنایت کا معاملہ فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما، صراط مستقیم پر چلنے کی چلانے کی جمنے کی جمانے کی توفیق عطا فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین ہمیں اپنا قرب نصیب فرما، اپنی محبت عطا فرما، اپنا خاص تعلق نصیب فرما، اپنے محبوب نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کا عشق نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین ہمیں آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سچی پکی اتباع کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین مرنے سے پہلے مرنے کی تیاری کی توفیق عطا فرما. آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما. جہنم سے پناہ عطا فرما. جنت الفردوس میں داخلہ نصیب فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین. رحم کا معاملہ فرما، کرم کا معاملہ فرما، رحم کا معاملہ فرما، کرم کا معاملہ فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین آج کے اس ختم قرآن میں بے انتہا خیر و برکت پیدا فرما. الہ العالمین ہمارے اس طالب علم کو بے انتہا قبولیت سے سرفراز فرما. الہ العالمین مرتے دم تک اسے قرآن مجید کے ایک ایک حرف کی حفاظت کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین اسے علماء ربانیین میں شامل فرما، اسے علماء ربانیین میں شامل فرما، اسے علماء ربانیین میں شامل فرما، اسے حاملین قرآن میں اصحاب قرآن میں شامل فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین اسے اولیاء نبیوں میں شامل فرما. یہ ارحم الراحمین اسے مرتے دم تک قرآن مجید کا خادم بنا دے. یہ ارحم الراحمین علوم قرآن کا خادم بنا دے. رب العالمین اسے اپنے ماں باپ کے لیے, اپنے اساتذہ کے لیے, معاونین کے لیے, پوری امت کے لیے نجات کا ذریعہ بنا, صدقہ جاریہ بنا. اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, اس قرآن مجید کے ختموں کی برکت سے تو ہم سب کی جائز حاجتوں کو پوری فرما. الہ العالمین ہم میں جو بیمار ہیں انہیں شفائے کاملہ عاجلہ مستمرہ دائمہ نصیب فرما. ظاہری باطنی جسمانی روحانی تمام بیماریوں سے نجات عطا فرما. الہ العالمین ہم میں جو پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما, جو مصیبت زدہ ہے انہیں عافیت عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین ہم میں جو بے اولاد ہیں انہیں اولاد صالح عطا فرما. اولاد والوں کو اولاد کی طرف سے آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک نصیب فرما. بے رشتہ ہے انہیں نیک رشتہ عطا فرما. جن رشتوں میں ناچا کیا ہے ختم فرما. رزق کی تنگی میں جو مبتلا ہیں الہ العالمین انہیں وسعت والی برکت والی حلال روزی عطا فرما. الہ العالمین جو جس مصیبت میں گرفتار ہے اس سے نجات عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمارے دلوں کو رضائی سے پاک فرما. الہ العالمین برے اخلاق سے پاک فرما. ہمارے دلوں کو اچھے اخلاق سے اور خسائی سے آراستہ فرما. الہ العالمین اس رجب کے مہینے میں, شعبان کے مہینے میں ہمیں برکت عطا فرما. الہ العالمین رمضان کی سعادتوں سے مالا مال فرما. الہ العالمین رمضان کی سعادتوں سے ہم سب کو مالا مال فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین پورے عالم میں دین کی جتنی محنتیں جس جس لائن سے ہو رہی ہیں سب کو قبول فرما. الہ العالمین اہل حق کو حق پر مجتمع فرما. الہ العالمین اہل حق کو اور اہل حق کے کاموں کی حفاظت فرما. اہل حق کی اور اہل حق کے کاموں کی حفاظت فرما. اہل حق کے اہل حق کے کاموں کی حفاظت فرما. انتشار افتراق سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. امت مسلمہ کو حق پر مجتمع فرما. امت مسلمہ کو شیر و شکر بنا دے. امت مسلمہ کو ایک اور نیک بنا دے. الہ العالمین امت مسلمہ کو شیطان اور نفس کے مقائد سے حفاظت فرما. آپس کے جھگڑوں سے حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین سب کو بھائی بھائی بنا دے, سب کو ایک اور نیک بنا دے. الہ العالمین پورے عالم میں امن کو عام فرما, برکتوں کو عام فرما, سلامتی کو عام فرما, رحمتوں کو عام فرما. الہ العالمین انسانوں کو جنگ و جدال سے بچا لے, جنگ و جدال سے بچا لے, جنگ و جدال سے بچا لے. اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما. الہ العالمین اس پورے مجمع پر اپنی رحمتوں کی بارشیں برسا دے, برکتوں کی بارشیں برسا دے. الہ العالمین ہم سب کو اپنی مرضیات پر چلنے والا بنا دے. الہ العالمین تجھے ناراض کرنے والی ہر چیز سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین ہماری اور ہماری اولاد کی, ہمارے متعلقین کی, ہمارے اہل و عیال کی, ہمارے ماں باپ, ہمارے بھائی بہن, رشتے داروں کی, ہمارے محبین محسنین کی ہر نوع کی حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین ہمارے ماں باپ اساتذہ مشائخ میں سے جو زندہ ہیں ان کی عمر میں برکت پیدا فرما. الہ العالمین ہمیں ان کی آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا. الہ العالمین ہمیں ان کی دعاؤں کا اور توجہات کا مورد بنا. الہ العالمین جو آپ کی بارگاہ میں آ چکے ہیں انہیں رفیع درجات نصیب فرما. ہماری طرف سے جو ہے خیر عطا فرما. ہمیں ان کے لیے صدقہ جاریہ بنا. الہ العالمین, الہ العالمین جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما, جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے وہ بھی عطا فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رب.